Good evening. My name is Anushka. It is so lovely to be with you this evening. This morning, I got to be at Shofar Urban. And just a shout out to the volunteers at Urban. You guys are doing such an amazing work. I absolutely loved going there. I haven't been there in a year. And they've made it so beautiful. The place is so well kept. Little plants growing. There's a plant that I bought, I think, over 4 years ago. And it is just flourishing. It's just green. And I loved seeing it. And Carolyn has put some pictures on the walls. Just so beautiful. And this morning they celebrated. Someone was baptized last week. His name is Robin. And I said, and he was a Muslim and he had a different name. And I said, why did you choose Robin? So he said, no, he loves Robin Hood. So I said, well, that is a great guy. It's a good guy to copy. So it was so special. Thank you, Bradley and Carolyn. You are doing an amazing job. Yeah, we can give them a hand. Come on. They're working so hard. Yeah, and you know, whenever I'm at Urban, I just feel God. Jesus is just there. When you're there, and Jesus was always amongst the poor and the weak and the discarded. So if you need some encouragement, go visit Shofar Urban. It's great to be there. It is the end of the year, and maybe some of you are on a very high because maybe life is great and life is going well. But for a few of us, we've had some shots this year. So my title is Bruised But Not Broken. Yesterday on Facebook, I was scrolling and I saw a picture of a mother has posted a picture of her daughter. She's about 3 or 4 years old. And she said, before the party, and the hair was with a little bow, and the little socks were all up, and the dress was clean, and she was smiling like this. And then she had another photo, and it said, after the party. And the hair was messy, and the dress was dirty, and there were scrapes on the knees. And I thought, wow, that is a good reflection of the year. Many of us start the year all sparkly-eyed with the things that we're going to do, New Year's resolutions, and then come the end of the year, and we're like, whew, it's time to put up the Christmas tree and put the presents under it and just write off this year. But bruised, not broken, that is the title of today's sermon. One of the scriptures that is really, really dear to my heart is in Isaiah 42. It's also repeated in Matthew, and I want to read it to you. I've got it in a few translations here this morning. But don't worry, I'm only reading two verses. And it says, Isaiah 42, verse 3, he will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. I went to look, what is this reed? Because we, in our modern era, we're not very acquainted with agricultural things. We eat bread, we don't know where the bread comes from. So the reed that they are referring here is a grain. And if a grain is broken at a certain angle, it's not useful to use for production. So at a certain angle, if it is broken, you can't use it. And the word says, a bruised. So it's not yet broken, but it's just bruised. And a flickering candle, we all have an idea of what a flickering candle looks like. It's about to die, but it's not yet dying. It's just holding on to dear life, that little candle. And for the world, if you have a bruised reed or a bruised grain, this is such an insignificant little thing. It's just like a stookie. And a flickering candle, what we should do with it is just, that's what we should do with a candle. Put on another one or just discard that piece of grain or that reed. But the word says, no, he will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. A reed that is bruised but not broken can still be used for grain. And a candle that is flickering can be held like this. You know, with a birthday party and the candles try to go out, you just make like this and it goes up again. So a flickering candle can be ignited And some of you here might feel a bit bruised. Life has gotten hold of you and dirtied your clothing, has wounded you in some way, and you feel just a bit vulnerable. In the scriptures, there are several references to the poor, to the weak people. I coach gymnastics just a few days a week for my kids' age groups. So I often coach the girls, and my son is in the boys' class. And one day they were the coach, Coach Alfie, was coaching my son, and I heard my son saying, "Oh no!" And I looked over and I saw what was going on. He was holding onto the rings, but he only kept 15 seconds. And he was very disappointed because all his friends had 40 seconds and above. And so when my girls on the trampoline were done, I excused them and I went over there and I said, "Give him another try." And I said, "You can do it, Joshua." And he went up and he held on and I said, "10 seconds, you can do it, 20 seconds. And suddenly 40 seconds, 50 seconds, 60 seconds, he did it. He could hold a minute. Because he was encouraged. Someone stood next to him and said, "You can do it. You can do 60 seconds. And my hope tonight is, as I share the word with you, that you will see that that is what Jesus wants to do. He wants to come alongside that flickering candle and just hold it and say, "You are not dead yet. You are not a broken reed, and I will not crush you." The women caught in adultery in John 8. This is what the teachers and the Pharisees said. They brought her amongst the people with Jesus, and they made her stand in front of this group. So context, I think she was caught in adultery, so she either had not a lot on or she had a sheet on. So that's what I'm imagining, and I'm imagining a bit of shame. They made her stand in the group, and they said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone this woman," such a woman. And Jesus goes on to say, "Whoever has no sin, they can cast the first stone," and so on and so on. And this is what Jesus says when everyone is gone. "Then neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin. Go now, I forgive you." He's holding that candle. He's igniting it again. The next one is the next bruised reed that I thought of is the two intertwined stories of Jairus, whose daughter was very ill, and then the hemorrhaging woman who, those stories, if you go read them, it's beautifully intertwined. And Jairus goes to Jesus and he says, "Come to my house and pray for my daughter because she's sick, she's going to die." And the people say, come to him and say, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother this teacher?" And some of the things that we are busy with, people are saying, "It's useless. You've tried, you failed. Don't bother Jesus with this again. Try something else." But Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." And the daughter is raised to life. And the intertwined story, the woman with the issue of blood. Too many people. Jesus won't have time for you. You must just be there in the back. And she touches Jesus. And Jesus says, "Who touched me?" And the response of the people are, "Master, there's multitudes. They are pressing against you." Does the feel mean that there's too many people? Who are you? You're nobody. That's what the world says. Jesus says, "No, somebody touched me. I know it is." And he goes for that one. That's Jesus. And this is what he says. "Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Jesus cares about that one person. He knows you. She doesn't have a name in the story. She's the woman with the issue of blood for many years. Jesus knows that woman's name. He looked back. And another one, oh, you know, dear Peter, he will never live this one down, even in eternity. He's a bruised reed because he denied Jesus three times. Three times he did not meet the mark. Three times He failed Jesus directly. It's not even an accusation of the world. It's the truth. People keep telling Peter, this is who you are. You were with Jesus. It's the truth. This is who you are. And he denied. He denied three times. And then what does Jesus do? He entrusts him with great responsibility. Jesus has an upside down kingdom, I've learned, and he often does things upside down, very much different to what we think. When we think it's time to discard a reed or put out a flickering candle, he says, no, that candle can be ignited. This reed can bear fruit. I will replant this reed and it will grow a harvest that is so plentiful you would not imagine it. I want to tell you a story of Corrie ten Boom. Some of you might know who she is. She is what they call a hero of the faith. So Corrie ten Boom lived in the Netherlands. She was the youngest of four children of a watchmaker, and her father's name was Casper, because they are Dutch. And the family owned a watch shop, and because she was the youngest, she had to help in the house a lot. But her sister Betsy was helping the father in their house. I think I've got a picture there of their house. But then Betsy got physically ill. She had an illness that went right into an adult life. And because Betsy became ill, Corrie had to work in the watch shop. And she loved it. She absolutely loved working there. And also, her family were Christians, so they had a youth ministry for young girls where they lived in Amsterdam. But then, obviously, the war came. You know the story, and the Nazis invaded the Netherlands, and they were not allowed to host these meetings for these young girls anymore. And one day, a woman arrived at their house, a well-dressed woman who was a Jew. And she said, Corrie, I know that your family has helped Jews hide away. May I please stay with you? And she was the first woman they helped, and it's said that they helped over 800 people hide, and they helped them escape as well in that time. There's a beautiful story of how they helped 100 babies in one day, she said, in one day to get houses, Jewish babies that they found houses for. Beautiful stories. And so they became what we call the hiding place. But then one day, obviously, they were betrayed by someone. There's a name for him. And the Gestapo, they arrested the entire family. They arrested 30 people that day. They let most of the people go, but they kept the Ten Boom family. Her father died 8 days later. He was already very old. But she was kept in solitary confinement. And she explains that her whole life she had spent a room with her sister. Her whole life she was surrounded by people, even with the Jews in the house, there was always laughter, always joy, and suddenly she was alone. I've got a picture of a small ant there, because she said one day she cried out to God and said, God, I cannot bear this anymore. I am so lonely. And God sent a little ant, and she said, thank you, Jesus. I'm not alone anymore. And this little ant kept visiting her for 4 months while she was in solitary confinement. And that is where she said, Psalm 91, oh God, you are my hiding place. Just like this little ant, whenever people arrived, he would go into his little corner and hide away. And what happened next is, after 4 months, they took her and Betsy to a concentration camp. And as they were arriving, all the people were stripped naked. And she was already in her 50s by that time. And it describes how humiliating it was for her to stand naked. Imagine, it's a grandmother standing there. And she said, Lord, I cannot do this in front of all the Nazi guards. And then she remembered, but Jesus Christ hung naked on the cross. The soldiers too took his garments. And she said, thank you, Jesus. I now share your suffering. I know that you know what I am experiencing now. And she could thank God. She quoted Romans 8, verse 18, for the suffering of this time is nothing compared to the glory which will be revealed in us. When they arrived at the concentration camp, they were put into rooms that was made for 200 people, but there were 700 people in there. And when she saw it, she's a Dutch woman from a Dutch town, average family, in a lone standing house. She's now in a concentration camp in a room made for 200 people among 700 women. And it was dirty and there was fleas everywhere. And it had a smell. And she said to Betsy again, "Betsy, how are we going to live like this? Look at these fleas. They're going to eat us up alive." And Betsy said to her, "Corrie, the word says in everything give thanks. We must thank God for the fleas." And she said, that was very difficult. And she said, "Thank you, God, for the fleas." But you know what happened? The guards wouldn't go in the room because there were fleas. And so they could read their Bibles. They had Bible study. So many of those Jewish women in the concentration camps were saved because of that Bible studies in that room, because of the fleas. So beautiful. So in everything, they gave thanks. And then one day, Corrie ten Boom, she got a cold. And you know when you have a cold, you need a hanky, she says. "I needed a hanky." But obviously there was none. They just had whatever was on them. And Betsy again said to her, it looks like Betsy is the strong one. And Betsy said to her, "Just pray. God said we must bring him all our needs." And she said, "Betsy, this is a concentration camp. Where will we get a handkerchief?" And Betsy said, "No, we pray." And they prayed. It wasn't an hour. Someone knocked at their window. And it was a woman from the hospital. And she said, "Corrie, I need to give you something. While I was folding napkins in the hospital, God told me, take Corrie a hanky. She needs a hanky." And she said, "Thank you, God. You supply in all my needs." Pete Griggs talks about when we pray, when we keep praying, little coincidences keep happening. Little coincidences keep happening when we pray. Amen? But unfortunately, Betsy, she was very weak, and her physical health kept deteriorating. And there was times they had to stand in lines for 3 hours every single day in the cold with just whatever they had on in the winters. And she became more sick and more sick. And she was often beaten by the guards because she was too slow in the lines. And then she died. And before she died, she said to Corrie, "There is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still." 12 days after Betsy's death, Corrie was released. And she left, obviously, very discouraged. But before Betsy had died, she said, "Corrie, when you leave the concentration camp, we have to tell the whole world about Jesus. And we have to make a rehabilitation center because there will be very many broken people that will need rehab." And so that is exactly what she did. She started a rehab center in Bloemendaal and for the concentration camp survivors. And she said, "God has plans, not problems." After 2 years, she returned to Germany because she wanted to meet with the guards. Especially there was one guard who she remembered had beaten her sister Betsy in that cold line. And she felt God had told her to forgive this guard. And she found it very difficult because she remembered her dear sister being abused in such a way. And then she stood in front of this man and she said, "God, I cannot do this." And God said, "Remember that I forgave you too." And suddenly the Holy Spirit poured love into her heart and she forgave that guard. And she also led him to Christ on that day. And then he said to her, "Please, go 3 cells down. There's another man who needs Jesus." And she did. She went and she prayed for that God, that man as well. And he was also saved. I want to use a few things from the story to encourage you if you are a bit bruised today. So this verse in the Message reads like this. "He won't brush aside the bruised and the hurt. And he won't discourage the small and insignificant, but he'll steadily and firmly set things right. He won't tire out and quit. He won't be stopped until he finished the work to set things right on the earth." I love it in the Message. It says it so beautiful. So 3 things for us today. What we learn from Corrie's story, what we take from the text. Three. The first one is comfort. The second one is courage. And the third one is copy. We take comfort. Jesus says he won't brush aside the bruised and the hurt. He won't disregard the small and the insignificant. He sent her an ant. He encouraged her with an ant. He sent Corrie a handkerchief when she needed it for her cold. He does not put you aside. He doesn't say it's just a cold. Ach, you can bear it. God knows it's only 4 months of solitary confinement and then you'll be set free. No. He says, I have compassion on you, Corrie. I know you are lonely. Let me send you something. Which he does. Jesus understands. He is so patient with us. Isaiah 53 says, he was bruised for our iniquities. He was bruised so that he could forgive that adulterous woman. He was bruised for your sin and for my sin and for our weaknesses. And I take so much comfort in knowing that Jesus binds up the brokenhearted. When you are discouraged and when you're sad, the word says that God is close to the brokenhearted. He comforts us in that time. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He is so slow to anger, so rich in love. And I love this translation in the NLT. It says that all the promises of God is backed by the honor of his name. Every promise he has made to you, when the world says, give up on that dream, discard that, he says, my promises are backed by the honor of my name. That's what Jesus says. We take great comfort in that. The second one is courage. In the message, it says, he will steadily and firmly set things right. He won't tire out and quit. He won't be stopped until he's finished the work to set things right on the earth. I must tell you, sometimes you give up on yourself. But God doesn't give up on you. Sometimes we feel like quitting, but he doesn't. I remember when I was 19, I did my drivers, my learners first. And I failed it 2 times. And I'm intelligent. I failed it 2 times. I had to get it by the third time. I was so anxious by the third time. And then when I did my drivers, I failed it the first time too. I was so discouraged. I was thinking, maybe I never need to drive again. There wasn't even Uber in those days. I was like, I think this is above me. I don't think I can do this driving thing. Praise God, I passed. God doesn't give up on us. He doesn't quit. He who has started a good work in you, he will complete it. He will complete it in you. Corrie ten Boom said, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look inside, you'll be depressed. But if you look at God, you will be at rest. She had this story where she said, while they were standing in those lines every morning for 3 hours, they were very discouraged. You can imagine just how they must have felt. And then one day, there came a bird. I can't remember what kind of a bird it was. And the bird started singing. And then they all looked up at this bird, and that bird kept coming day after day, and it brought so much comfort and courage in their hearts. When she was naked, do you remember that she remembered Jesus was naked too, and she took courage in that, and she could bear it. She could bear that humiliation, that shame. She could bear it because Jesus was with her, and also the fleas. how much joy and courage they should have, I think, what would have gone through their minds once they learned the guards didn't want to go in and they could have Bible study. I think they praised God for every one of those fleas. Keep the fleas coming, Lord. How much courage they must have taken from that. There's a verse in Psalm 18, which I love. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. That is for someone today. And lastly, we copy. Some of you here are not so bruised. You're like the perfect apple. You've made it. In the bag, you didn't bruise on the way to the shop. You didn't bruise when the house mother put the apples my husband always says, don't open it like that. Just put it softly so that it doesn't bruise. You're that perfect apple. You made it. Maybe you feel like that one. And then this is for you. You need to copy Christ, who does not crush the broken reed or put out the flickering candle. I was on the beach on my youngest daughter's birthday, and I was walking up and down in the waves, just enjoying the beauty. And then I saw a father, he was about in his 50s, with his son, who was already about 16, 17, 18. But the son was walking like this, so I knew the son had a physical impairment of some sort. And they were a bit further away, and the father was just walking next to his son, and they went in quite deep, up to a bank, and then the father just, the son was here, and the father was here, and a small wave would come, and the father would just check, and then a big wave would come, and the father would just help him. And then the small wave would come, and the father would step back, and then a big wave, and he would hold his son like this. And God just ministered to my heart and said, that is me. That is him. God, he's holding you when you need him to help you. He knows that we are just dust. He's acquainted with us in all our ways. And he knows when he needs to come in, and we must trust him with our lives. But we must also copy him. When we are strong, when you are that perfect apple, please remember those who are bruised. The word says a threefold cord is not easily broken. If we come together, when you see someone is struggling with sin, why don't you come and support and help them, pray with them? If you see someone, their emotions are all over the show, can you pray for them? Can you pick up those who are weak and come alongside them and copy Christ? I love the story of Corrie ten Boom going to that God and forgiving him. She imitated Christ. That's what she did. That God, who once was the strong, powerful one, was now the humble person in the situation. And she could forgive him and offer God's strength. Praise God, it's not us who are strong, but it's God who is strong. Hebrews 3 verse 13, be encouraged, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. I remember the story of the father and the son. You know, sometimes you are the father and you are strong and you have the capacity to assist someone who's weaker than you. I watched them go as well. And as they were walking back, the father just kept a safe distance, watching his son. But the son was going and the father was just walking along. Maybe that's you. Maybe you are just the guardian, able to assist other people in their weaknesses, pray for them on the sidelines as a watchman on the wall. But I've also realized that we all go through a season when we are the weak one, when we are the son who was a bit disabled, who needs to receive help when we are a bit weak and bruised. And we take so much comfort in knowing that he does not break us in our weaknesses. He does not break us. His word says, in fact, we are strong when we are weak, because I will boast so much more gladly in my weaknesses, because when I'm weak, then he is strong. So today, Theo, can you come and minister a song for us? I want us to all stand, and there's a twofold response. The one response is, God, I am the flickering candle, and I need you to comfort me and hold me like this. And just acknowledge it, that it's you who needs God to do that. Or maybe you are actually in a strong position. It's going well with you, but you have failed to be a part of the threefold cord. You have failed to assist those who are weaker, and you need to ask God to bring his Holy Spirit and empower you for this work that he calls us to do. Let us pray. And as we pray, if you are weak, just cry it out to God, and maybe imagine how he's just comforting you. Perhaps you can imagine yourself as the son and the father just behind you in that waves, just there protecting you. Or maybe he's really holding you because the waves are quite strong. and just pray, Lord, minister to me now. Would you just meet me and just rest in his presence? The word says, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul and he prepares a table for you. But if you are the one who needs to ask for courage to copy Jesus, make it a fervent prayer in your heart and ask God to hold you accountable. Yeah, Lord Jesus, we are grateful to be in your presence. I pray, God, in thanksgiving that your word says you will not crush the weakest reed. Nor will you put out the flickering candle. And I pray for those who are flickering candles this morning, Lord, that they will feel your comfort and they will just even experience how their light is ignited by your spirit, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.